in my career, I have been the one that has made the difference more than one time. If I put myself out there and just keep fighting for something I believe in.
This is the NCCHC podcast, and our guest today is one of the longest serving CEOs in the health center movement.
I'm Leslie Walcott, and I do communications and emergency preparedness at North Carolina Community Health Center Association. I'm here with Alvin Capitaco, who is our communications intern, and Penny Washington, who is the retiring CEO of Advanced Community Health.
So you've been with Advanced Community Health for about 25 years?
Just 24 years. My 25th year would be September.
September, okay. Yes. So why did you decide to stay that long at this one organization, and what are some of the personal lessons as well as work-related about healthcare in North Carolina that you learned during this time?
I came here from the Office of Rural Health, and I came under the CEO who asked me to come to be the Chief Operating Officer, actually being passionate about this business, the people we serve. I can honestly say there has not been a day that I doubted my career since I came to Advanced Community Health. It has continuously been a growing learning experience. There has never been a time I could figure out what either HRSA was going to do 2 months later, or what was going to happen in the healthcare industry, or what was going to happen in this organization. It has never been I've learned it all or figured this all out. It's been a wonderful experience, and it has been my life's work. It is what I was meant to do. I knew that from my first year being in this role, and except for the fact that it's time for me to retire, I could do it forever. It is such fulfilling work, and working with my colleagues around the industry, other FQHCs in North Carolina, working with the organizations from elected officials, other agencies that we're involved with. Who could ask for a better role? Who could ever ask for a better job than this one? It has been so fulfilling and has brought so much to my world, to my life, the entire time.
How has the organization evolved or advanced since 1998 when you took over as CEO? And also, what are some of the services that you offer now that you didn't when you started?
So when I started, there were 30 employees. It was a $3 million budget. And we had three locations. There are just over 210 employees. We have seven sites now. It's a $20 million budget. So it has grown considerably and grown in every way possible. The organization from the beginning was always, when I joined it, was a community health center. We had a healthcare for the homeless program, but everything was much smaller. Now, on the positive side, when you only have 30 employees in this kind of business, everybody knew each other. We were a very close-knit group, had a lot of extracurricular activities, like we started a volleyball team and all kinds of other things because we were so small. Over the years, as we have grown more sites, more people, it's harder to know everybody's name, everybody's face, everybody's family situation, and that just comes with growth. We were very much located centrally in the Raleigh Apex area when we first started out, so we've added Franklin County. We did that in 2009 and added a site. Actually, 2008, added a site in Franklin County. So we became Wake and Franklin County in 2008. We also really looked at the community in a different way of where we would locate our sites, we expanded from what I would say more of a who we serve. As an FQHC, you talk about always serving everyone, but the programs that we pursued, the partnerships that we pursued, really had us serving everybody from people in public housing. We've had HIV, Hep C, pharmacy now. And so the growth in programs has been a little bit over time. In 1996, when I was chief operating officer, we added our first pediatrics practice. And so we've grown our pediatrics business, but so many things have changed because the need in the community had changed. Back in the old days, we did not have mental health, behavioral health. We have an entire mental health, behavioral health program now. We have nutrition services that we never had before.
How do you feel about retiring from the organization? And also, what will you miss the most about your industry, and how will you use the experiences that you've gained throughout your career going forward?
So the one thing I keep telling people as I'm getting ready to retire is, dang it, I should have started writing a book years ago. Some of the situations and some of the stories over the years have just been unbelievable. Some of the situations are the opportunities that we've had. What will I miss the most? I think it's the people. I feel it's an honor to work with the people that are in this organization. People are here because they want to serve the underserved. People are here because they want to make a difference. And to be around so many people that have that as why they wake up in the morning and why they're doing what they're doing, it's inspirational to me. The stories of the people that work here, the stories of the patients that come here have continuously inspired me. And so I'll miss that extra inspiration. And I'll tell you really quickly, one of the things that's really standing out in my mind right now is our whole vaccine program. People come here and get their vaccine like they won the lottery. And they are clapping and cheering and dancing. And there's just nothing like it. And in all the time I've been here, there's not been one situation that has put a smile on people's faces and just really been inspirational, like how people are interacting with getting vaccinated. And you hear the stories of people finally being able to hug their grandkids or go back to work or so many things. And so maybe it's because it's the most recent experience, but there's been nothing like what it's been around vaccines. And right now I'll miss that energy, being able to bring in some cases the difference between life and death to people in this community. What will I do after I retire? I will first get some rest. This is a very stressful world. The not-for-profit world, there's never enough money. And when you do get money, it's in one lump sum with a lot of strings attached. So it's never to do all the things that you need to do, is to focus on one area. So it's very stressful, very challenging, but I've loved it and I will definitely miss the people.
Is there one thing that you wish that you changed in the healthcare industry during your time as CEO?
The importance of change management. You start to learn over time the impact of change on your employees. There's so much now around workforce development, inclusion, all of those kind of things. They're concepts that we have now that I would have loved to have been incorporated in how we train our staff, how we work with our staff, how we interact with our patients, that I really wish some of those things were in place years ago. This has been a world that's becoming more inclusive, a world that has really understanding the importance of keeping your work, getting your workforce to be happy, keeping them happy, retaining your workforce, that the lessons now that we're learning would have been wonderful lessons years and years and years ago. Because one of my regrets are some of the people that we never had enough money to develop. And so they went on to other jobs to do other things to get more money or a new opportunity that we didn't have internally. And now we're really learning how to figure out how to work with the people on your staff to make those opportunities available to them in-house, retaining people. And I really wish that I learned those lessons years ago.
You had a lot of time like to think about a succession planning. Could you talk to us about how you handled it and also how important it is for community health centers to engage in long-term succession planning?
So I informed my board 2 years before I was going to retire that I was going to retire, and that it was very important to me that the right person came to the organization, someone that loved this business. I really wanted somebody who had been in the FQHC movement, who really was dedicated to what the goals and the mission of the organization. I really wanted to see this organization go to the next level and hire somebody that could do that. So we started putting together our succession plan, as you say, 2 years ago. The board put the dates on the calendar over a year ago. COVID hit, but we kept trudging through saying we're not going to let COVID stop us. And so the incoming CEO has been here since February 1st. Under the wisdom of the board, he was actually hired before the end of the year. In 2020, he was hired in December 2020. He started here February 1st, and we purposely have been working together for the last 2 months. People thought that that was the craziest thing in the world, and it has been phenomenal. It's given him a chance to meet the community, meet the organization, observe the things that I'm doing, and really the transition. We've had a lot of a chance to talk and work together and combine our thinking into what's next for the organization. I've had the chance to introduce him to all kinds of people that I know, both elected officials, CEOs, and people in other agencies and organizations that we've worked with. And as I leave on Friday, I feel very good that he's just ready to take off. He knows what he wants to do next. He knows the community, the organization, and he's ready to go. And I will be thrilled to watch this organization move forward. This is a place I love, and I can't wait to see its next chapter.
What is the one thing you want lawmakers to know about the importance of CHCs? And that can be at the state or the federal level.
What I would like them to know, and it is because of what has happened most recently with the Biden administration and the money that we've received, is the importance of infrastructure for FQHCs. And so much of the time we receive programmatic money, but we don't always receive money for infrastructure, for our buildings, for our parking lots, for the things that are the foundations that keep us operating. And I would love to see the programmatic money is important, But we need to take care of our infrastructure to make sure that our buildings and our foundations that we rely on to provide care continue to be here. This is such important work. I wish every legislator got a chance to actually step foot into an FQHC, because you can tell the difference between elected officials who have physically been to FQHCs and had the opportunity to watch and see the work we do, and those that have just heard about us. This is an impactful business, and I wish more walked in the doors and understood the difference we make in the community.
Absolutely. And just to be clear, you said because of the recent Biden funding. Now, I understand that funding to be more broad than some of the previous COVID funding. Do you feel like this recent funding under the Biden administration allows some of that spending on infrastructure, or do you feel like you still need some of those funds?
Some of the funds can be used for infrastructure, but not to, so there can be minor renovations of buildings. We need to have more money, one, for new physical facilities, so construction funding, and we need more money to do more than a little cosmetic change. We have seven practices. With the money in this program, we'll be able to do some cosmetic changes, but I always talk about that when I go into a building, to a medical practice, I'm looking in the corners. I'm looking at the tile on the floor and the carpet and the bathrooms and if and the exam rooms. And if I don't feel that that place is neat and clean and fresh, then I don't want to be there. I want people to come here, regardless of their ability to pay, to walk into our buildings and know that they are in the best possible location for their healthcare. And so much of the time, people equate quality with aesthetics. And so if it takes upgrading your aesthetics for people to feel good about coming to you and seeking care, I want to make sure we have enough money for those aesthetics.
About you and you only, what do you like to do in your free time? And what's something that you're looking forward to doing now that you maybe have some free time that you didn't have time to do before?
Okay, so we're ready for the list. So a couple of years ago, I first started playing bridge, and then during COVID, I really learned how to play bridge. So I'm now at the point that I'm ready to go to bridge tournaments. I didn't say I was any good at it, so let me be clear. But the idea of going around the country, playing in bridge tournaments and learning, really developing in the game, my understanding is the only way you get good at it is to play, play, play. So I want to really learn bridge. I train my dogs. During COVID, they haven't been very trained. But right before COVID, one of my two golden retrievers, we trained as a therapy dog. COVID hit, and I never got a chance to go into any hospitals or do anything. We're going to have to start all over again, but I can't wait to get my golden retriever, my oldest one, to the point that he goes back to having all the skills and training. Actually, they train the owner. They don't train the dog, they train the owner. So let me say it that way, that I am trained so that my dog will be able to be a therapy dog, because all the things that we were planning to do, they just never came to fruition. And then the third big thing is I dabble in photography, and I really want to learn photography so that in my retirement, when I travel, I'll be able to really take off in photography. So I've been creating my bucket list for a couple of years now.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, what advice do you have for the next generation of leaders or young professionals working in the health center movement?
The quote on my wall, be the change you wish to see in the world. because I believe any person can be the one that makes the difference. And I feel that in my career, I have been the one that has made the difference more than one time. If I put myself out there and just keep fighting for something I believe in, I believe anybody can do that. And it has happened over and over and over again, not talking about me, people around me. And we wouldn't have this movement if people didn't put themselves out there and keep fighting for what they think is best for the community.